beat me. Welcome to Talk Murdy to Me.
It's a true crime podcast hosted by your favorite Murdy Birdies, Sarah.
And Melissa.
For any newcomers.
Newtimers.
For any newtimers out there, we switch voices. I'm actually Melissa.
And I'm Sarah.
You can probably hear it in our voice. I am 8 months older than Sarah. I'm officially 33, a whole new age.
It's just a few months that we're not the same age, which really ruins my life, to be honest, because I already don't even know what age I am.
Yeah.
And then when you turn a different age, it's really upsetting, especially that one time that you told me I was the wrong age.
I told you you were 31 and you weren't 30 yet. And you were like, what?
I was like, I don't think I have my 30th birthday.
Oh, that was just at the beginning of the COVID.
Yeah.
A lifetime ago. Thanks to everybody who put up such nice birthday messages for me yesterday and sent such nice comments. I appreciated it very much.
And because it was her birthday and the end of the month, we had to push this back one day. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be out today, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But Melissa texted me like 18,000 times on Monday and rescheduled.
Yeah, I said, hey, come on over at 4. And then I said, ooh, somebody needs to do this at 4. Is 4:30 cool? And then immediately I was like, can we do it Wednesday?
Yeah.
Just got a little crazy.
As long as it's not Thursday.
What's
Thursday night football.
Oh, football actually, starting.
I don't know if there is this week. Let me just check my ESPN app.
Football Sarah is about to be back.
I got a new cell phone this weekend, and I kept forgetting to download all my apps.
Ugh.
You know, so they're all downloading.
Mm. Guys, yesterday Sarah and I did something fun for my birthday. Here, I think I put it up on the Instagram. I think I did a story, but here
did
in
you?
Arizona, our local movie chain is called Harkins. And in the summers, or for some amount of time during the year, on Tuesday nights, they throw up classic movies. So they put up an old movie for like one showing at 7 p.m. And yesterday on my birthday, it happened to be Clueless.
It was great.
Friggin' treat, man.
Other than the 40-year-old women that were in there saying every very important word of it. What is that called?
Movie quotes.
Yeah, they were quoting it
out
loud.
I love that for you at home, but you're ruining my birthday.
Well, Melissa did at one point whisper in very closely in my ear and said, they're ruining my birthday. It's like, shut up. And I had Andy next to me. And Andy doesn't like when we stir up any type of issue. Mm-mm. Doesn't even like when I make a change to my food.
Yeah.
So I was like, Sarah, who do I please here? My boyfriend or my best
friend. And moving on from that.
Just kidding.
We're probably due for a talk pop to me soon, though. It's been a long time.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of pop to talk about.
Oh.
Dr. Pepper. You know what? My mom and I had shared an orange Fanta out of the fountain.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
At Torchy's?
No. Carolina's.
Was it good?
The Fanta? Yeah.
My mom likes to get orange soda or strawberry soda whenever she gets, like, real Mexican food, like at Rito's and places like that.
Strawberry is the shit, though. That's for sure, Z's.
I'm not a fruit soda kind of girl. The closest I get is the lime Jarritos.
That's not true. You love a squirt.
Yeah, but that's not, like, fruity.
Melissa,
you say it's grapefruit. I just don't believe it. I think it's lemon lime.
Lemons and limes are fruit.
Mm.
Whatever. But we're here. We're back. I'm tired. I've been battling crickets.
Sarah's house is prone to crickets. And every year, there's at least one where she shows up to some type of either family event or recording or something. And she's peeved. And I'm like, bro, what's up? And she goes, we've got a cricket.
It's so loud. I am so, like, it's like a sensory issue with me. Like, the noise is so out of control. I can't get over it. Yeah. I just can't. It makes me mad. I think there's an alarm. I think it's a fire, but I know it's a cricket. And there was a cricket living in my door jamb. So no matter what I did.
Yeah, you couldn't get rid of it.
Until I just sprayed the shit out of it. And then last night it happened again. So I'm like, are you having babies in here?
Probably.
I need to call an exterminator.
I'm not going to judge you about it because, you know, I have misophonia in regards to gulping. So, yeah, if crickets is your thing.
It's not a thing. It's a torture device. If you want to annoy somebody, put fucking crickets in their room and make them try to sleep. No headphones. No earphones. No earplugs.
No earbuds. my experience with nature this week was on Sunday. One of my good friends from college was coming through town for the night.
Oh, yeah.
With her three kids, who I adore. I had not met the youngest one yet, so I was very excited to get to see them. And we went over. She was there with her mom. Her mom has a cousin who lives in Gilbert, just down the road from me, in this very nice part of town. It's used to be orange groves, and now it's all, like, very nice custom homes. And I never knew this.
They just ruined one of the five C's of Arizona.
Yeah, well, who knows?
Citrus.
Well,
climate.
Cotton.
Cattle. Cotton.
Copper.
Copper.
Crushed it. But I went over and we were talking and they were doing something walking in and out, like, to the pool. And basically the woman who lived there had said, like, oh, girls, make sure the door stays shut. And my friend Katie was like, oh, yeah, they said they have scorpions here. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's a summertime, like, that, you know, makes sense. It's not unheard of. And she goes, yeah, I guess they have, like, a problem because it used to be orange groves. And I guess scorpions love orange groves.
They love vitamin C.
And I guess the lady ended up telling us that they're very territorial. So once they're there, they don't leave. Like, they root in, they have babies, they never leave.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, well, like, I'm from Arizona, lived in Phoenix my whole life. Like, I've seen my fair share of scorpions. We saw and killed three in 3 hours inside the house. Yeah. And the first...
I think twice about being there.
Yeah. I mean, I called my mom immediately and I said, this neighborhood, Circle Blank Ranches, we can't ever live there. And she goes, why? I said, because they have scorpions. And I told her what I found out about the orange groves. And now half of the places I would have wanted to live in Gilbert are now gone. Because we used to have a lot of groves around here. I wouldn't be able to live in something like that. Yeah. And mind you, these are beautiful homes. Like, very nice, very wealthy. Like, it's not like it's someone who's not taking care of their home or not being proactive. They just had something going on.
Yeah.
And when I left, I saw one of the biggest scorpions I've ever seen in my life.
How big was it? Show me with your fingers.
It was probably, like, this long.
Oh, that's
But it was this big around. It was fat. Oh, it must have been like pregnant. And you know they carry their babies on their back once they hatch. Yeah. So I got out of there. I didn't even put my air conditioning on when I got my car. I was in such a hurry to scoot down that driveway.
Why, you thought they were going to follow you?
No, I just didn't want to take... Yeah, well, I guess I just didn't want to take any extra time. It just... So that was my experience with nature this week. And it was really sad because with scorpions... This isn't the podcast for that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you guys. At the end of that story was I had to use a freaking dumbbell from their home gym to kill two of them. So... That was the end of that story.
Yeah, that was cool.
Thanks for coming to our bug podcast.
I fucking hate crickets.
Bug out.
Bug out. Okay, what are we going to do today?
First of all, we're going to talk about the new review.
We got a new review?
You know it.
Let me lay down for this.
Oh, God. Oh, we're also podcasting from the ground today, you guys.
Melissa sold all her furniture.
I needed something new.
So we're on the ground.
Yeah.
Cold, hard ground. Melissa didn't give us any pillows.
There are so many pillows out. We have a new 5-star review.
Whoa.
Username Vansatron, which I thought was exciting. Review name Donuts.
Is this our friend?
I think so. Because I'm like, what are the odds of two people bringing up donuts in one day?
I think that is her name.
Well, there you go. So the...
It's deductive reasoning, sad. Sorry.
It's a 5-star review. It says, love your pod. Y'all remind me of me and my cousin, who I dearly miss. But let's be real. Did Melissa ever get donuts from Sarah?
What is that?
Then she said, sorry if that's the wrong spelling. But you should know, Vansatron, it is not the wrong spelling. You got it right. I have one L, two S's. Sarah has an H in her name.
What are the donuts, Vansatron?
I feel like this means at some point we were talking about the fact that you were supposed to bring me a donut and you probably never did.
But you don't even like donuts.
I do like donuts, though.
What kind?
I like Long John's. Long John's.
Oh, it's this bullshit again. A Long John is a maple Long John through and through.
No. Oh, this is coming back to me. We've argued about this before. Long John's are chocolate.
No, they're not.
Maple Long John's are maple versions of the classic Long John. That's why you have to designate that it's a maple Long John.
Long Johns are also underwear.
Yeah, but we're talking about donuts.
I know, but I just wanted to...
Also, it depends on the brand of donut, which is a very fat thing to
Bosa.
If it's Bosa, I like a chocolate cake donut.
I also love those little
munchkins.
They're not called munchkins at Bosa. They're just called donut holes. The glazed. I could eat a bag of that in a hot second.
Yeah. I like the chocolate munchkins from Dunkin'.
Those are too dense.
I love them.
It's like you're eating a piece of the moon.
It's like devil's food cake from the moon. It's a moon cake. I like the sprinkle, frosted chocolate sprinkle ones from Krispy Kreme.
I love the chocolate frosted Kringle.
If you guys want to hear us rank our favorite donut places from 1 to 5, just like leave a donut comment and we'll put it up later this week on the stories.
I only have one. It's called Bosa.
Sarah, I would put Rainbow Donuts on that list because I have nice childhood memories of us going there together with Bama.
It's not there anymore.
Ever?
It's a Hi-Ho Donuts.
Oh.
Asian influenced. It is. Well, don't you remember on Queer Eye, Austin? Remember they went to that bakery with the Asian influence? That woman who opened that little bakery?
Vaguely.
And she made like really cute macaroons and donuts.
Wait. Is you talking about the latest season of Queer Eye? Sarah, I'm going to say something right now that's going to upset
off,
you.
Melissa. Fuck off.
I haven't seen it.
The one where they're in Austin?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. The last time I saw the boys, they were in Philadelphia. I know.
Are you living under the Liberty Bell?
I don't know. I remember when it came out, I remember being so excited and thinking, I'm going to do this on 2 days where I have nothing to do and can just focus on the boys. I never found that time, I guess. And then I keep thinking, like, oh, I'll just wait till the next season, then I'll get 2 seasons at once.
That's when I restart them from the beginning and rewatch.
I'm about to do that with Grace and Frank.
Just keep getting better. I think out of every piece of songwriting, I sing that part the best.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, let's play a game. Rock, paper, scissors. Do you have other stuff?
No, that's it. Just thank you for that lovely review. They mean so much to us, and Sarah's going to go get us donuts at some point.
We'll see.
Okay.
That's the best I can do.
I'll take it for now.
Because I just don't know my schedule all the time.
Yeah, I should have asked you yesterday.
Yeah, on your birthday.
Mm-hmm. What did you say to me yesterday? You went, Melissa, you know what? It's okay because it's your birthday. I forget what it was even about.
But I don't know. But let's play rock, paper, scissors.
All right. Ready, Freddy?
Ready?
Okay,
I feel good. Dago chicken nugget. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Oh, I did too many. Can you say it out loud so I can count, please?
Part of me was thinking, let's play with our eyes closed, and then we'll open our eyes, and then we'll get to see
who
won.
Okay, I can do that, but so I just have to...
We'll still say rock, paper,
scissors.
On scissors.
Okay, ready?
Okay,
are your eyes closed?
Yeah.
Is this serious? Are
this
you
is for real.
Do it?
Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Rock paper, scissors.
I win. I did scissors, Melissa did paper.
Last time I did scissors and Sarah was still playing rock, paper, scissors and I haven't thrown yet.
I knew I made a mistake, so I just held my rock.
Oh, I did too many.
Whatever.
All right.
Okay. I tried to do a list today.
A listicle?
But it only turned out to be 2 people because I tried to do a third person and it was so convoluted because he was a mafia boss that that it was just like too difficult. So my topic is terrible people in hiding and their crimes.
Love it.
So that was the difficult part with the mafia person was that he was like involved in so much stuff. And then they are still arresting people in his family right now trying to find him.
What?
He basically ran the mafia in Sicily.
Are you going to tell a story about this someday or can you tell me their name?
I don't remember their name.
Okay.
I did this on Sunday because you told me I had to be ready on Monday.
Yep.
I wasted my Sunday fun day.
Got it.
So, okay. Well, I'm going to start with somebody we know. I mean, we don't really know him, but he's from Arizona.
Robert Fisher. Fuck Robert Fisher.
I know. That's why I did him first, because I thought I was going to have multiple.
Yeah.
But then I didn't. I only had 2.
Okay.
So, for those of you who do not know.
Whoever's living under that Liberty Bell with me.
Good one.
Thanks.
You're fucking dumb. Robert Fisher served in the U.S. Navy. He later worked as a firefighter in Scottsdale, and then he also worked as a respiratory tech at a medical clinic.
I can't even celebrate any good that he ever did in his life because I just hate him so much.
I know. He married his wife, Mary, in 1987, and they had 2 children. Their family life was said to be difficult. Robert was often said to be cruel and controlling towards his family members. It was also mentioned that he like had one little issue with infidelity.
Oh.
Like he cheated on his wife at least once.
Okay.
It was said. On April 10th, 2001, the family home exploded. Inside was Mary and their two children. But unfortunately, Mary and the children had not died from the explosion. They had been brutally murdered. Their throats had been cut and Mary had been shot in the head. Now, Robert had gone missing, as well as Mary's car. And that obviously led the police to Robert as their one and only suspect. It happened very quickly.
Yeah.
It wasn't a, let's, maybe right. he's missing. Maybe somebody took him. It was like, no.
No.
Yeah. 10 days later, Mary's car was found in Payson, Arizona, but Robert was nowhere to be found. There was evidence that he had driven the car and could have possibly been living in it. There was also nearby caves that people are like 100% that he lived in then.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually that Arizona True Crimes, like on 12 News, is doing like a huge, like multiple part on Robert Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
And like they're sending people down into the caves to be like, do you think somebody could live in here?
Yeah.
Who was like an expert wilderness person.
Yeah.
Which Robert was.
Mm-hmm. Quick question.
Yeah.
Are you going to bring up the family dog?
No, I didn't.
For anybody who thinks it's interesting, the family dog was also missing when the house had exploded. And then they found the family dog tied up to his wife's mm-hmm. car when they found the car.
Yeah.
I found that to be a very interesting part of the story.
That was interesting. Thank you for adding that. And if you think of anything else, go ahead and add it too.
Got it.
On July 19th, 2001, the state sent out, a state arrest warrant was issued charging Robert with 3 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of arson. So even though they hadn't talked to him, they pretty much said, he's our guy.
Yeah.
By June 29th, 2002, Robert became the 475th fugitive to be placed on the FBI's most wanted list. Since then, there has been many reported sightings of him. Following the murders, like very recently after them, neighbors reported seeing a man that looked very much like him driving within their neighborhood. Gross.
Hmm.
In February of 2004, a man, oh, this is the one where they were talking on Crime Junkie that I like truly 100% believe it's Robert Fisher. But in 2004, a man who looked just like him was arrested in Vancouver, Canada. And, if I remember correctly from the Crime Junkie, they like waited out to have a family member come to try to ID him, which that's correct. But the things that led them to believe it was Robert Fisher was that he was the gentleman who was arrested had a missing tooth
mm-hmm.
where Robert had had a gold tooth. So that would be something that would make him
stand out.
He also had a surgical scar on his back, which was in the same place as this other gentleman who was arrested. The only thing was that their fingerprints didn't match. So, like I said, they flew out a relative in hopes of identifying him, but they couldn't really prove it was Robert because the fingerprints didn't match, and the gentleman's fingers had no evidence to say that they had been tampered with.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of weird. And then I didn't know this, but in 2012, the FBI was alerted the local PD that Robert was like living in Payson, and they like went to go and find him, raided the house or something, but found nobody mm-hmm. there. And then the same thing happened in October of 2014, where they believed he was living in Colorado. When they raided that house, they just found a couple who lived there with no signs of Robert.
Oof.
I stapled my pages together, so sorry guys, just a little.
I like it, you're picking it old school.
ASMR.
All right.
Okay. Now on November 3rd, 2021, I almost couldn't say those words. Robert was removed from the FBI's top 10 most wanted list, but he is still a wanted fugitive. There are three main theories as to what has happened to Robert. People believe that he could be alive, living publicly under an assumed identity. Another one is that he killed himself after the deaths and his body has just never been found. And then the third one is very similar to that, is that he's been living on the run, but has since died and never either been found or identified.
Yeah.
So those, that's just a quick recap on Robert Fisher, but there's a lot more other shit.
Did you go into the FBI tip that was submitted in the last 12 months about him possibly living in an empty cabin in New Mexico?
But it's not an empty cabin.
It is most of the year.
People just don't live there. Melissa's mom actually had, like, it was super creepy. Her mom owns a teeny little cabin in New Mexico.
And he has ties to New Mexico. Like, on the FBI website, it says he has ties in Florida and New Mexico.
Okay. Sure, Melissa. And she would go up there and she realized that things were changed and it was, like, super weird. So when we went on our road trip two summers ago, we went there to change the locks and Melissa's mom called and said that she thought it was, could be Robert Fisher.
Well, someone that was living in the cabin.
Yeah, somebody was clearly, like, living.
It wasn't like someone had, like, stopped in and, like, moved a pillow. Like, things were moved around. Someone was clearly living there. And
cooking.
And it's in a very, very remote part of the state where, like, if you didn't know where to look, you'd never find it.
Yeah.
And there's, it's like a, it's a private, like, gated neighborhood, but it's not like you have houses next door to each other. Yeah, but it's one of those things of, like, it's a neighborhood where there's other houses. Like, you could see the house that's across the lot from us, but you would never, you wouldn't be able to see, like, a person going in and out. You would be like, oh, that's so-and-so, unless you for sure knew him. Yeah. So it's just, it was really scary, and my mom was very uncomfortable with it. And we called,
she should be.
Yeah, she called the sheriff and was like, I'm just letting you guys know, like, something weird is going on out here. Someone's basically living in my cabin when I'm not there. And then, she called the FBI, and she gave a little tip and was like, I'm just saying, someone's been coming in and out of my cabin for, like, years now at this point, and they never called us back, so probably wasn't him.
But you did your due diligence.
Yeah. And see, that's something, all that matters. Say something.
Yeah. See something, say something, do something. Unless it's going to get you in her.
No, you're not supposed to do anything.
Well, let's talk about how Melissa and I witnessed somebody backing into somebody's car last night, and Melissa starts walking towards the car.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, don't walk towards the car. Get the license plate. She's remembering it. And then she's, like, pointing at the car. And I'm like, stop pointing at the car. Those people could have a gun.
Yeah.
We were in Tempe.
Let me just go one step further and say we saw it happen. Actually, Sarah goes, that car is going to hit that car. And we turn around. We watch it happen. The car that hits the other car stops for 1.2 seconds before it drives away.
Also, they're just backing out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just, like, backing out of a parking spot. It wasn't, like, a big moving crash. But I took a few steps towards it to make sure I could get the license plate correctly because they were totally leaving. And I say it, and I started saying it out loud. I turn back around to you, my mom, and my brother.
Oh.
And I'm going, G0A. And I'm, like, repeating it. And I say it, like, three times in a row, and no one's moving. And I'm like, somebody write it down.
You were really mad about that.
I was so mad. I told my mom on the way home. I'm like,
your mom was like, okay, yeah, she, like, got out her notes app.
Well, and then we were leaving a note for the people, but then they came out of the theater, so I told them what we saw. And then
what were they seeing?
I didn't ask.
Oh.
Probably Clueless.
But you told them that we saw Clueless?
No. I told them what we saw as in the accident.
That's why I asked them.
The car that hit their car. No, and me and my mom were talking about it, but that's the bystander effect. And I told her about that a while ago. Like, in an emergency, you're supposed to say, like, you in the Spice Girl shirt, you call 911. Because everybody always assumes that somebody else has. So, like, last night, we see an accident. I'm repeating the thing out loud, and you three just stare at me. And I have to be like, write the license plate down.
I was really tired.
Well, we may be solved a crime. What if it was Robert Fisher in that car?
It wasn't.
We're going to be on the news.
No, it wasn't. All right, my second story.
Okay, got it.
Also, if you want more about Robert Fisher, just look it up.
Seriously, Google it?
Like, Google. No, just go to podcasts and search. Like, you're going to find a million things about it. preferably maybe go to Arizona True Crime.
Yeah.
Because that's made by a local television channel here. So.
ABCDEFG Phoenix.
I think it's just 12 News.
Yeah.
KTAR.
I'll just never let WXYZ Detroit live it down.
Yeah, seriously. All right. My next man is named Bradford Bishop. William Bradford Bishop, to be honest. Mm. Oh, that was my...
I sincerely hope that translated onto film. Sarah's stomach just went, ooh. All right.
I'm so sorry.
Billy Brad Bish.
Okay. William Bradford Bishop was born on August 1st, 1936, in Pasadena, California.
Okay.
Okay. Now, following high school, where he was in California, he went to Yale. He graduated from Yale with a bachelor's degree in American studies and then later got a master's in Italian from a place called Middlebury College. He was a scholar.
Hmm.
Okay. After Yale, Bradford married his high school sweetheart, Annette, and they had three sons. Bradford then joined the army and he worked for 4 years in counterintelligence. What does that mean? Is that like he went to Russia?
No, I think intelligence is usually like decoding and...
This is counterintelligence.
Yeah, it's probably like spy stuff.
Oh, cool. Like he has a monocle or something? I don't... I meant...
You think spies just have him... That's how we tell them?
Yeah. Like the peanut guy.
I know you're talking.
Doesn't he have a monocle?
He does, I think.
Okay.
Mr. Peanut. I think he died. Yeah, I think they tried to say they're coming out with a new mascot and they had like a funeral for Mr. Peanut. I was pissed.
Oh, they're probably going to come out with somebody slutty. It's probably going to be something suggestive. Okay. And that's just not how the world of peanuts should be.
No.
You know?
Yeah. Peanuts are a classy nut.
They took green M&M out of shoes and out put her heels. In.
Mm-hmm. Air Didn't Force they give her a pantsuit or something?
Well, then none of them wear pants. That would be weird.
Yeah, that's the weird part about our discussion right now.
A pantsuit for a green M&M? That is so silly. All right. What?
Well, none of them wear pants. That would be so weird.
All right. Now, Bradford also spoke 5 languages fluently.
Whoa.
English.
I'm so sorry. I just kicked my story for the day.
English, Italian, French, Spanish, and Serbo-Croatian.
Yeah.
Is that what Croatian is?
No, I just went with German because I didn't know that one.
After his time in the army, he joined the U.S. State Department where he served in the Foreign Service overseas. His last post began in 1974. And he was at the state headquarters in Washington, D.C. So he kind of went from living abroad to back home behind a desk.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the assistant chief in the divisions of special activities and commercial treaties.
This dude was a spy.
That's what I'm saying. That's why he had a monocle.
With all of his technology built in?
Yeah. It was And then it shot bullets out of it. Actually, no. It wasn't bullets. It was... What are those things?
Darts.
Darts, thank you.
I knew that's where you were going. I wanted to give you a chance.
Okay. On March 1st, 1976, so 2 years after he started that last post, he learned that he was no longer going to receive the promotion that he thought he was going to get. And he just told his secretary he wasn't feeling well and he left his office for the day. Now, what police later came to believe is that Bradford drove to a bank where he took out hundreds of dollars. Then he went to the Montgomery Mall where he purchased a sledgehammer and a gas can. And then he went to go fill that can of gas and then also fill his car's tank at a nearby gas station. Then went to a nearby hardware store where he purchased a shovel and a pitchfork.
Terrible day.
Recipe for not good. Police then believed he arrived to his family home that evening between 7:30 and 8. When he walked in, his wife was there, and it was believed that he killed her first. Mm-hmm. Then His mother had been living with them. The mother had returned from walking the family dog, and he murdered her. He then made his way up the stairs, where his three sons, age 5, 10, and 14, were all sleeping, and he killed them. Police said it was like the most gruesome thing they had ever seen.
So this man just like snapped.
Yeah,
basically. Well, snapped with planning, but still.
Yeah, I think it was more of like a plan of like, this is what I'm going to get now, and then I'm going to go here. I don't think it was premeditated. I think he just was like, oh, these are the things I need. But then at the same time, if you're making a list, then it's kind of premeditated.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're looking at me weird.
I'm just on the floor.
I know.
It's my floor face.
Oh, gross. Don't make it ever again. I'm just kidding. All right. Bradford then allegedly drove the bodies 275 miles away to a wooded swamp.
Sure.
Is that a swamp near woods? Wooded swamp?
Probably just like a wooded area with a swamp.
Yeah. Which was right outside Columbia, North Carolina. You know all those states are close to each other up there. So there he dug a shallow grave, buried his family, and then set the area on fire using the gas that he had purchased earlier that night. Bradford then drove 2.5 hours away from the grave site to Jacksonville, North Carolina, where he was spotted buying a pair of tennis shoes and he used his credit card. Pretty quickly, due to the fire, the bodies were found along with the gas can, the pitchfork, and the shovel. And what investigators realized is that the shovel had the letters OCH HD on it. And this left them pretty confused. They didn't understand. It kind of looked, because obviously it was like burned.
Yeah.
So those were the only letters left. So they didn't understand what it meant. They actually drove around, the investigators did, looking for hardware stores that had those letters and its name. And they didn't find any in their area. So they decided to now like reach farther into other law enforcement in the region. So they even reached out, obviously, to the Washington Metropolitan Police Department. And they learned that the OCH hardware store, they learned about a place called Poch, P-O-C-H, hardware store in Potomac, Maryland.
Potomac.
So they actually drove to that store. There, they hung up a flyer with the unidentified victims. They didn't know who these people were.
Yeah.
And very quickly, or I'm sorry, not very quickly, but around that same time, on March 10th, a neighbor from the Bishop's neighborhood called the police because they're like, we haven't seen these people for days. I mean, it's two women, you know, it's a family of six people. We would have seen the kids outside, all this stuff. And then a police officer was sent out to do a well check. And what they found was blood on the front porch, which then led him to call detectives. And throughout the house, on the floor and walls, inside and in the bedrooms, was just blood splatter. Dental records were very quickly able to confirm that the bodies from North Carolina was the Bishop family. And on March 18th, the family station wagon, which Bradford had been driving, was found abandoned at a crack? I heard that crack.
You're hearing my ceiling crack.
At a campground in Elkmont, Tennessee, which is just a few miles away from the Appalachian Trail. Ooh. And that place was about 400 miles away from where Bradford had buried the family. So he was very much adios, sayonara.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of how to say something in French or something, but...
Au revoir.
Because he speaks all those languages, you know? I was trying to be... I don't want to be him, actually.
Oui, oui, ha, ha.
See. The car... Oh, in the car was dog biscuits. Remember, the family had a dog. Bloody blanket, a shotgun, an axe, and a shaving kit, which also included medication. And then in the back, the trunk where the bodies had laid, the spare tire was covered in blood. A witness told police that they believe that the car had gotten to this, like, campground, basically where they found it, anywhere between March 5th and March 7th. Police believe that Bradford blended in and just joined in the flow of all the hikers. So people just were like, yeah, cars come and go. People camp. We are friends with them if we are. If not, like, we can't tell you when or why that person was here.
Right.
They did bring out dogs, bloodhounds, to try to get his scent from the car, but unfortunately that had no success. And on the next day, a grand jury indicted Bradford on 5 counts of first-degree murder and other charges. Oof. So just like Robert Fisher, they're like, yo,
yeah,
we're out to get you, buddy.
Yeah, we don't need your side.
Exactly. Nobody really knows why Bradford committed these horrible crimes. It wasn't said that they had any issues. He had become bored with his desk job, but there was no evidence of, like, him cheating on his wife, or they didn't have significant financial problems. It was said that if you looked at people of their age with that many children, it would have just been the norm.
Yeah.
I mean, they had 3 kids and
yeah,
I think they were only in their 40s or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, the other thing they did learn was that Bradford truly wanted to go back overseas, whereas his wife did not.
Mm-hmm.
She was finally settling back in to life in America, and she had decided to go back to school, even though Bradford urged her not to. He just wanted her to be a stay-at-home mom, and that's really the only part of, like, contention, is that what you would say?
Yeah.
Between the two. Bradford's wallet and passport have never been found. It's speculated that with his intelligence training, he's been able to evade detection.
Yeah.
So since 1976, there's been a few sightings of him, all of them happening pretty much in European countries. And these are the 3 most credible, the most credible by the United States Marshals. So the first one was in July of 1978, a Swedish woman who worked with Bradford previously in Ethiopia, said that she had spotted him in a park in Stockholm, like, multiple times and, yeah, like, saw him. And she believed, quote, she was absolutely certain that it was him. She had no idea that he was wanted for murder, so yeah, she had nobody to turn him into. She just, yeah, was like, oh, I worked with that guy in, yeah, Ethiopia. Now, the second one was a little bit crazier. It was in January of 1979, and another co-worker of Bradford's reportedly saw him in the bathroom in Sorrento, Italy.
Mm-hmm. Sorrento.
Sorrento, Italy. And apparently, I read more about this after I wrote this, but the gentleman said he saw this person who he thought was basically just like a vagrant or like a homeless person. Mm-hmm. And as he, like, looked at him closer in the restroom, he realized that it was Bradford,
mm-hmm,
and he went up to him and asked him, hey, aren't you Bradford? And the guy looked at him straight in his eyes and goes, oh no, oh no, and, like, ran away.
Yeah.
So he was like, probably most likely him.
Right.
And then the last most credible was on September 19th in 1994, a neighbor from where the Bishop family had lived in Maryland, technically, but, you know, mm-hmm, Washington, D.C. area, reported that she had seen him on a Basel train platform. That's in Switzerland, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that he was very well-groomed, he was very well put together, and he was actually getting into a car. So, mm-hmm, by this time in 1994, he's probably made money and figured, yeah, out stuff, whereas in 1978, 1979, that's only 2 to 3 years after he had committed the murders.
Right. So, still on the run.
Exactly. In 2014, authorities do believe that Bradford could be back living in plain sight in the United States, just avoiding arrest. And then the craziest thing, well, it's not craziest, but the weirdest thing is that in 2021, a woman actually came forward who had been adopted. When she had done DNA testing, she found out that Bradford was her biological father. So they're like trying to figure out, is there any way that she could figure out where he is or something like that. But that's kind of the most recent thing. So that is two terrible people who are possibly still in hiding.
Yeah, he'd be real old by now.
Yeah, I was trying to think, but I didn't think well.
That's a tough one.
Gosh. How old would he have been? Let me see.
I think you said he was born in, what, 36?
Yeah, let me do it.
Okay.
What year are we, 2022?
Mm-hmm.
He'd be 86. He's probably not. Who knows, though?
Yeah, if he's been in Europe.
Yeah, just living his best life.
They eat more vegetables over there. Less processed things.
Yeah, less gluten.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are my two stories.
Damn.
Would have been three, but I told you a synopsis of the first one.
Yeah, I appreciate that, though.
Yeah. It was just cray-cray.
You have pictures?
I just have the wanted posters of both of them.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's but funny. It was creepy because the wanted posters of William Bradford is like before they had computer-generated things. So the busts are like made of clay.
Yeah.
It's very creepy.
Well, his has a lot of similarities to John List,
mm-hmm.
where he killed his family, went on the run, assumed a new life, like kept up appearances, like had all of that stuff. And he also had that bust and that's how they found him. That's crazy.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find, just so you can see it up close and birds. It's very creepy.
Oh, I don't want to zoom. Ew. Oh, God. That's
right.
That's
it doesn't horrific. Even look like he's pretty handsome as a young guy.
Yeah.
For that age.
He looks like, yeah. I don't like the one they gave him the goatee and like the beard. I don't like that they did that.
Oh, my God. My stomach. Sorry, people. This is what happened when you have popcorn and red wines for dinner last night. Okay, Melissa.
All right.
Tell us your story.
Well, it's funny you mentioned lists.
Did you do a list?
I did a list today.
What's your list?
So I saw an article last week.
Two horrible people and their crimes.
And they're on the run.
And they're on the run. I'm going to lay down.
All right. You good? There's another pillow behind you if you need it.
I don't need it. Oh, my God.
Just had to do a big yawn. Okay. So. Oh, God. We get it. You're not a serial killer. Quit pretending.
Do you guys know that little tidbit of information? Of course you do. You're true crimers.
It's a sociopath. That's the test.
You guys are murdy birdies. You know.
Yeah. I saw an article last week that said next month is going to be the 10-year anniversary of Tinder.
Are you doing the Tinder swindler?
No.
I never watched that. Did you watch that?
No. But yeah, when I saw that Tinder was about to have its 10-year birthday, there was a bunch of articles out there and some of them were like the most romantic stories that ever happened because of Tinder. And then almost twice as many were like Tinder, 10 years of horror stories, like terrible things that happened because of Tinder. Yeah, so
a lot of dick pics.
Yeah. That should be number one. That should have been my number one.
That's the first major crime.
Yeah. But today we're going to discuss 10 of the true crime cases that have happened because of 10? Tinder. Yeah.
Because it's 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't want to do two?
No.
Okay.
Now, obviously, there's lots more than just these ones, but these are the ones that just seemed like extra bananas to me when kind of looking through all of them. The first one is one I think you'll be familiar with. I think it's been done on, I think MFM did an episode on this, possibly Crime Junkie, but it was really popular. In 2015, a British Army sergeant named Emile, I would say it's Cillier, but it's, I don't know if it's like French. It's Cillier. Met a woman named Stephanie on Tinder. And unfortunately, Emile was already married to another woman named Victoria, who had just given birth to their second child.
Oh, no.
And Emile was a complete asshole, and he was in a lot of debt. And when he couldn't find a way to get out of that debt or leave his wife, he made some really bad decisions. He took out a couple $100,000 in life insurance on his wife, Victoria. Jeez. And then he created a gas leak in their home on a night that he knew he wouldn't be there. But it didn't work. She survived. And oddly enough, after that gas leak, she had jokingly sent him a text like, damn, what, are you trying to kill me or something? Yeah.
Because she just was trying to make a funny.
Yeah. And I don't know if that means both their children were home as well.
Yeah, I was about to ask.
What if they're young, yeah, I can't imagine a mom not staying with her kids overnight. But it wasn't mentioned in the articles. It just said he knew he wouldn't be home. But then he went extreme and he arranged for them to go skydiving.
Oh, God.
But no, before the jump, he tampered with her parachute.
What?
She jumped. She fell 4,000 feet. But she landed on a soft spot on the ground and somehow survived it.
She's wonderful.
She broke her collarbone, her ribs, and had a serious spinal injury. And Emil eventually was charged and convicted of attempted murder. And in 2018, he was sentenced to a life sentence in the UK with a minimum served time of 18 years.
I do not know anything about this.
I thought you might recognize it from the part about him trying to kill her twice and failing both times. And one of them being a freaking skydiving accident.
Sounds like he's just an idiot.
Yeah. But like, how do you survive falling out of a plane? That's
where's
so crazy.
Where's a soft piece of land? How soft is it?
Well, and
is it a swamp?
Well, the thing about it, they say when people who survive skydiving accidents usually lose consciousness before. So when they hit the ground, they're like unconscious. So
it's like drunk drivers.
Exactly. Like they're not tensed up and breaking everything else. Like they just kind of, she must have landed like literally in the perfect spot to just somehow. And I mean, she was messed up. Like they said she survived physically, but like emotionally and psychologically, she's had some serious hurdles to get over.
Oh, that's a whole different world, though.
Yeah. But I thought, I'm like, 18 years, that's kind of a lot in the UK for someone who didn't actually die. Like, I feel like theirs are always like life sentence, minimum served 12 years or something.
Yeah.
But hopefully their parole system, like, won't ever let him out. But yeah, isn't that, you don't remember that story?
No.
Okay. Well, that's my number 10, okay? And not that we're going in order of, like, crazy, but the one that made me the most uncomfortable, well, the one that I thought was craziest is number one.
I see how you did that.
Yeah. Now, number two. In 2017, a 24-year-old woman named Sydney, I think it's Loofe, L-O-O-F-E.
Loofy.
She swiped right with a 23-year-old woman named Bailey Boswell.
She swiped right.
What?
She swiped right.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah, but it just made
me. Well, I've never had a Tinder, so.
Never in your whole life.
Ever.
Your friends didn't even make you one.
No.
Wow.
My friends want me to be single forever because I'm such a good friend.
It's embarrassing for us.
But that's what it is, right? Swiping right?
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Ooh, I thought that was the good kind. So if it's wrong, my bad, guys.
Okay, but basically she was into her.
Yeah, she swiped right, or she swiped to match with this woman who was 23. She was 24. She matches with a 23-year-old named Bailey Boswell. And they eventually set up a date. And Sydney was excited. And she had even put up pictures on her Snapchat of herself getting ready. And then there was a selfie with the caption, "Ready for my date." And then the next day she didn't show up to work.
Uh-oh.
She hadn't given any notice. And she hadn't checked in with any friends or family. And eventually her friends and family set up a search party. They get the FBI involved. But sadly, about 3 weeks after she had gone missing, her body was found in a rural farm field.
Oh my goodness.
She had been dismembered into over 14 pieces.
No.
And investigators eventually linked her to Bailey Boswell and Bailey's other lover and roommate, 55-year-old Aubrey Trail.
But she was 23?
Mm-hmm. And she was living with a 55-year-old woman.
Wow.
They eventually concluded that Bailey had somehow convinced Sydney to... Page change.
If yours were stapled, it'd be easier.
To go back to her house with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she and her lover, Aubrey, somehow at some point strangled Sydney to death. And then dismembered her in a sexual sadist fantasy. The pair were eventually found on camera purchasing saws, tools, bleach, roasting pans, and trash bags.
Oh, God, that's disgusting.
Yeah, they were each convicted of, well, I should say two. They said in the investigation that they had proved that the dismemberment was not, like,
oh, let's just do this to get rid of it now that we've done it. Like, they had planned on doing it beforehand, and it might have been part of a weird ritual. Oh, God. Yeah, so they were each convicted of first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit first-degree murder, and unlawful disposal of a body. Bailey Boswell would have actually been the first woman in Nebraska to receive the death penalty. But one of the judges on the three-person panel didn't think that the crime met all the specific criteria for the death penalty.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so instead they were both just given life in prison. No parole. Which, like, what more do you need to give someone the death penalty? That's what
I
was about to
say. I would be interested to hear her stance or his stance.
Yeah, like the legal reasoning behind it. Number three, we're going back to the UK.
Wait, I thought we were on seven. You said the first one was 10.
Oh. Yeah, I guess we did start with number 10. That would have been number 9. Now we'd be on number 8.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
All right.
Or if you don't want to go backwards, that's fine.
You know what? I do want to go 1 to 10. I changed my mind. Everybody, we're going 1 to 10. Oh my God.
So your number 10 is the big deal.
Yeah, is the one that I was like, I'm saving that for the last one.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody.
Wow, that's confusing.
Back to number 3. Back in the UK, in August of 2017, 23-year-old Jordan Matthews was spending time with his 24-year-old girlfriend. I think it's pronounced Chi Chi B, is what I'm assuming. It's XIXI-BI, which I thought an X in, like, I think in Chinese sounds like Chi, XI, I don't know. So I'm going to say Chi Chi B. I'm very sorry if that's not correct. While they were hanging out, though, Jordan thought he saw a notification on Chi Chi B's phone from a man named Ben on Tinder, and the couple started to argue. It turned physical. Jordan ended up attacking her and breaking her jaw and several ribs. God. Chi Chi B eventually died from her wounds, and after all of this came out, they did investigate and found that Jordan had been physically and verbally abusing her for their entire relationship.
That's awful.
And also during the investigation, it came out that Chi Chi B didn't even have the Tinder app at all. So he hadn't seen what he thought he saw. There's, like, no way he saw a message from someone. Yeah. So either he said that that's what happened to try and, like, justify it, like a murder of passion or whatever. But he eventually was sentenced to 18 years in prison for the murder as well.
And that seems like it's short.
I know. But here in the U.S., like, we legit have life sentences.
Oh, yeah.
And the death penalty and things like that. Like, if you try to kill someone on purpose, like, I think you should for sure never get out of prison.
Yeah.
Like, life for life. That if not the death penalty. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's a child or you're especially cruel, yeah, no. I don't know. But yeah, 18 years for that. And it's like, really? That's it? Just doesn't seem like enough. Number 4.
Okay.
/6, if you were going the other way.
Well, you said we're changing.
Okay.
And it would be it number also 7. Would have 7. Oh, our toes just touched.
I didn't Gross. Like that. I did not like that.
Don't put your toes close to the microphone. They're going to hear them.
I don't think they can hear. I don't see any lines on the thing, so.
There's lines?
When sound gets made,
oh, yeah. On there. I thought you meant on the... I was like, where are their lines?
Sound waves.
Okay.
In April of 2016, a 38-year-old man named James Wu was acting very strangely at the San Francisco complex where he rented a storage unit. He was asking the workers if his unit was under surveillance. Creepy. And then he asked if he was allowed to store a car in the unit.
Okay, two suspicious things.
Very sus. The same day, 33-year-old and mother of 4, Julie Turison, was reported missing. And sadly, just a few hours after she went missing, her body was discovered. She had been shot multiple times and was handcuffed to the door of her own van inside the storage unit of James Wu.
And how did he get that in there?
It must be a large unit. A lot of units have drive-up features where you can get to it from the outside and you just, like...
Oh, I've been to one with you.
Well, mine didn't have outside access. That was one of the reasons I went with them. You had to go into the unit. You had to have a lock and keypad. Like, you had to have the code to get into the building. You couldn't just drive up and open someone's thing and, like, take their stuff. Because I had, like, really nice couches.
Yeah, and Beanie Babies.
Sarah, I took those with me to my apartment. And now they're in the safe deposit box.
You have like a whole room of safety deposit boxes for all your Beanie Babies. That'd be freaking cool. One for each one.
That'd be freaking cool.
And then you put pillows and blankets in it for a bed. That's Wait. Fucking tight, bro.
What was your favorite Beanie Baby?
I don't know. Probably the hippo. I was into hippos as a child.
I remember that. My favorite was Bones the dog or the inchworm. Loved that worm.
Yeah. Cool.
Thanks for sharing. Thanks for listening. Okay, so when they found Julie's body in the car, they saw that her body had actually been covered in baking soda.
What?
Yeah, and police think that that was James's way of trying to hide the odor that would eventually come from her body decomposing.
Oh.
James Wu was eventually arrested at the airport in Seattle trying to flee to Hong Kong, and it came out that the murder investigation... Oh, it came out in the murder investigation that James and Julie had met on Tinder and they had had a very tumultuous relationship for a few years and had broken up shortly before the murder. I actually read that when the police spoke to Julie's oldest son, he said, yeah, I heard the garage open last night and my mom leave. And when they said, what do you think happened? He goes, I think James did it. Like, I think James has something to do with hurting my mom.
That's awful.
Yeah, so they must have had lots of problems before. In 2018, at his sentencing, the judge asked James Wu if he wanted to make a statement. And James got up and said, yes, I'd like to be sentenced to life without parole. Now let's get out of here.
So respectful.
Like, such a dick. Like, yeah. Okay, let's go. Let's get it on the road.
Hurry up. I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, he was sentenced to life without parole, and I'm sure he's still an asshole in prison. That's how that ended. Number five.
Five both ways.
That's five either way. Yeah, so
it's crazy.
You're welcome.
It's a conundrum.
In Australia, in 2016...
G'day, mate.
G'day, mate.
Do you think that's what the Tinder says?
Oh, I almost went swipe right.
We're listening in school. We're reading about this animal classifications.
Ooh.
And the narrator is a rat called Rattenborough. So I put fake ears on because it's like, hey, boys and girls, Rattenborough here, your favorite animal expert. And we've been listening to the recorded parts and it's like a gentleman reading as Rattenborough. And he has like this slight like Australian accent that you can't really. I'm like, could you just not do it?
Or yeah.
Is it just like, is it too hard for kids to understand an Australian accent?
So they do a light one.
So, but yours is good.
My favorite wildlife expert is Robert Irwin.
Yeah, he's great.
I'm so obsessed with him.
And attractive, right?
I think he's so wonderful. I don't know how old he is. I'm going to guess that he's like 23, 24.
So you can say he's cute.
So I can say he's cute, like, but... I mean, I'm 33 now. Like, if I cut that in half and add 7, what does that even come to?
About 23.
Yeah, about that. It'd be tough. Like, I should probably wait another 10 years before trying to take him on a date, but...
Yeah, but he works at the Australia Zoo.
He's just such a wonderful person. I truly think he's a good person.
Yeah, I think they all are. Bindi included.
Yeah, but just Robert's so wonderful, and he teaches us so much, and I watched him rescue this... python the other day. I thought
I'm sorry, what's it called?
Yeah, it's a python to us, but he calls it a python.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually the biggest snake in Australia, and it was in the showers outside, so he just goes and picks it up, and he showed us how they can climb and how they're really good climbers and they like to be holding things, and they can get up to 20 meters long.
How many feet is that?
Looks like 60 feet.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure a meter is 3 feet.
No.
Yeah. So, bananas. This one was only like...
Was it a yellow one?
I don't think so.
What are those yellow big snakes?
You think of an anaconda?
Oh, those are different?
Oh, I don't know. Well, yeah. I don't know. I just love Robert constrictors. Irwin.
Wait, is a python a constrictor?
I think so. Yeah. It squeezes its prey to death. But he seemed very comfortable with it wrapping itself around his neck and like kind of squeezing his face. He's like, he's just a little nervous. It's fine.
Was he from the zoo and he got loose?
No, they were out, I think, camping in the woods. And then one of them, they found a snake in the shower, the outdoor shower. So he picked him up and put him up in a tree so he'd be safe.
How thick around was it? Oh, I was thinking it's like this.
No, it was like probably a young adolescent snake. Like, it wasn't huge yet.
Oh,
but I mean, okay. I would never fucking touch it.
Okay. Thank you.
If you guys want to hear more about how I feel about Robert Irwin, just drop a comment. Like, any animal emoji in the comments.
It's
thank
obviously
you.
Just clear you've also never met Rattenborough.
Yeah. Well, I just think everybody should follow Robert Irwin Photography on Instagram, and you'll learn a lot.
Okay, thank you. Back to your number five.
So back to 2016. 28-year-old, a doctor named Angela J., swiped right on a 36-year-old man named Paul Lambert. Things went well. They hit it off, and they started dating. And after about 6 weeks of dating... Page change.
Oh, my God. Why won't you put those in front of you?
All right. After about 6 weeks of dating, Angela went on a planned vacation that she had.
To where?
Didn't say. Okay. Paul, I'm gonna guess Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, Australia, it's pretty close.
I was thinking Bali.
Oh, cool.
Thailand.
Okay.
America.
Well, on vacation, Paul did not do well with it. He got super jealous. He got possessive. He started texting her nonstop, and it got so bad that Angela was like, no thanks. She broke up with Paul.
Peace out.
She was like, thug out. I'm gone. Paul continued to harass Angela to the point where she had to get a restraining order against him. And he kept sending her messages that he was going to kill himself.
What?
And he would say, like, Angela wasn't safe anywhere, even in her own home. He had said he had, like, taken a copy of her keys without her knowing.
Oh,
like,
I do not like that.
Yeah, just weird stuff. And he even got a second phone and was messaging her, pretending to be one of her friends. And he was saying that she needed to go back to Paul because if he did kill himself, it would be her fault. What a creep.
Cry me a river.
Yeah. Eventually, one night, though, Angela did go home, and Paul was hiding in her closet.
No.
When she opens the doors, he attacks her and ends up stabbing her 11 times.
No.
And then pours gasoline on her.
What the heck?
Yeah. They continue to struggle, and eventually, Angela managed to escape and get to her neighbor's house for help. Amazing.
That's a lot.
Police end up looking, like, going on a manhunt for him. They see him driving on the highway. It turns into a pursuit and a car chase. Eventually, it ends with the police shooting Paul Lambert dead.
How fast was he going?
They didn't say. They just said they had to give chase.
It was probably like 100 kilometers.
Yeah. Angela did eventually recover from her injuries, and we're very happy to hear that.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Like, in a closet.
That's scary.
It's my nightmare.
It's why I don't have doors on my closet.
Same.
You know?
Well, I do have doors, but you can see in there.
Yeah. Mine's just a sheer...
We have reach-in closets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mine already has too many clothes. A person could not fit in there.
Yeah, no.
I can't even. Yeah. I have to stand up.
Your clothes can't even.
When I went through all my stuff, you're like, so these are the jeans you're keeping? It's like three layers of jeans. And I was yeah, I wear them all.
It was probably 20 pairs of jeans.
I know. Black jeans, too.
Sarah.
Black and jeans.
A lot of jeans for someone who lives in Phoenix.
Yeah, but I wear them to school.
You really do. You wear jeans a lot. You actually pretty much only exclusively wear pants.
Oh, yeah. I hate dresses.
Like, yeah.
I'm not a dress gal unless it's for some sort of party or gala that I'm invited to.
Like a wedding?
No, a gala.
How many galas have you been to?
None, but I have been to a few weddings recently.
None, but I've got dresses. Okay.
Hold on.
Oh, she's moving.
Like a beached whale. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. In 2016, a 26-year-old woman named Francia Ruth Ibarra.
Francia?
Uh-huh.
That's a beautiful name.
She matched on Tinder with a 26-year-old man named Emmanuel Delani Valdez Bocanegra.
Wow.
The pair both lived in Leon in Mexico.
Okay.
They got on very well and they had gone on dates together. But after their last date on December 3rd, 2016, Francia ended up going missing. After she missed a meeting at the movies with her friends, they got worried. They started going through her social media and eventually linked her to Bocanegra. And then I saw one article that said she had been dating him for months, mm-hmm. but like hadn't told any of her friends and family about it yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did they link it?
Yeah, another couple things just said they looked in social media and saw that they had been talking. So I don't know if it was like months on end or what. And I thought, I mean, do you know where all my logins for my social media?
No.
I'll leave you a note.
of where to find important things. I use the same
password for everything. So
I know.
Once you know it, you know it. Yeah. Just kidding.
But it changes every day, so don't try to guess it.
It's on rapid change.
So
auto change.
After her friends figured out that she had been linked to this Boca Negra, police went to his apartment in Leon, and they ended up finding her clothes, containers of hydrochloric acid, human bones, and 6 kilos of human flesh.
How?
It's since come out that when Francia refused to have sex with him, he killed her and attempted to dissolve her body in acid to try and make it look like she was a runaway.
I just don't understand how people come up with these ideas.
I know. And the police ended up tracking Boca Negra down to his family's home in Mexico City, where they arrested him. And they said he was indifferent about being arrested.
I don't like when they say things like indifferent.
Because you don't know what they mean?
Well, I just feel like it's like you can't, you don't have a real emotion.
That's what the word means.
I don't like it.
Oh, okay. So you don't like their actions of being indifferent?
Yeah.
You don't mind the word. Oh, you're saying you don't like hearing that about people.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were saying you don't like that that's the word they use to describe him. And I was like, I just don't like that's what he was.
That people say they're indifferent. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I agreed. Now that I know what you're saying, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Next is August of 2014 on the Gold Coast in Australia.
Oh my God. That's where I lived.
Mm-hmm. A 26-year-old woman named Warianna Wright swiped and matched with a man named Gable Tosti. I think that's how it's pronounced. She was on a 2-week vacation from New Zealand for a friend's wedding. They messaged for a couple of days, and then a week after they originally swiped on each other, they decided to meet up for a date. They ended up going back to Tosti's apartment, where they eventually got into an argument about something. I don't know what. But during the argument, he had choked Warianna and then locked her outside on his balcony.
Oh my God.
She had been heard screaming by neighbors that she just wanted to go home. And one theory is that she tried to climb from his balcony to another for help, but she ended up falling 14 floors to her death.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Now,
I did not see that coming.
Well, then when the police were called to the building, this guy Tosti was seen on camera hiding behind a column in his building's lobby when they arrived. Eventually they connected him to her and he was arrested for murder and manslaughter. But what's weird is that Tosti had started recording during their fight on his phone. He had like a 3-hour audio recording of the argument. She's heard yelling, "I want to go home." They're yelling about all these things. At one point, it was played in court, and you can hear him say, "You're lucky I haven't chucked you off my balcony, you goddamn psycho little bitch." Sorry for the language lack of warning there. His defense story was that Warianna was extremely intoxicated and she was acting irrationally, and that she on her own decided to try and climb to another balcony before slipping and falling, and that it was just an accident. The prosecution alleged, though, that after the argument and him choking her, Warianna had no choice but to try and escape the balcony because she thought he was going to kill her after the threats. Mm-hmm. So either way, he caused her death, either potentially throwing her or making her climb off herself because she thought she was going to die. There was also hidden video camera footage in his apartment. Like, footage has come out that he had, like, been recording.
Oh, he's a big creep.
Yeah, super fucking weird. But shockingly, 2 years after her death, Gable Tosti was found not guilty and acquitted of all charges. And people are big mad about it.
I'd be big mad.
Yeah, people are big mad. Yeah, people are upset. Our next story is in October and November of 2021.
In October and November?
Uh-huh. Of 2021. Okay. In Camberley, England? Maybe Kimberley?
Cambridge.
No. Well, there was a man named Prince Darkwa, and he had met
Is that real?
Yeah, that's his name. Prince.
Farquaw?
Darkwa. Darkwa.
Isn't Farquaw the guy from...
You're thinking of Lord Farquaad from Shrek. That's what you're thinking of. Unfortunately, Lord Farquaad is a much better person than this man.
And really? I don't think he's good in the movie.
Exactly. He had met two different women on Tinder. Both women went to dinner with him, and afterward he insisted on walking them home. And once they'd get there, they decided to have a drink. And one woman said the next thing she remembers was waking up naked and bleeding with Darkwa stroking her face and smiling at her.
No, no, no.
She reported the assault to police. He was brought in. He was questioned the next day. He was let go. And just 2 weeks later, police were informed by another, that second woman, that the same thing happened to her.
Gross.
Darkwa was eventually charged with the rapes for 3 women total, but he was only found guilty of 2 of the charges, and he was sentenced to 12 years in jail, and he will be on the sex offender registry for the rest of his life. And they said in the investigation that one of the women had actually sent some texts to a friend within minutes of meeting him saying that he was odd and that she thought he was weird. Ugh. So, like, listen to your gut, people.
Yeah.
I know it's rude. Just say you have to go to the bathroom and leave if you're uncomfortable. Or just make up an excuse and be like, I forgot to feed my cats. I have to go. Or, you know what, this just isn't for me. And, good luck. And just leave.
Yeah. Oh, I think my friend's outside. I'll be right back. And then take your purse and go.
Yeah.
Oh, my house is on fire. I gotta go.
Seriously. Okay. My next one, second to last. We have 2 more. In October of 2018, 21-year-old Grace Mullane had just graduated from Lincoln University, which I'm pretty sure is in Pennsylvania. Or Pittsburgh. Whichever state makes the most sense.
I was like, Melissa, yeah, they're the same, but I get what you're saying.
She set out on a world tour to celebrate. She spent some time in Peru, and then she flew to New Zealand in November. Once she got there, she ended up matching with 28-year-old Jesse Kempson. And Kempson had, like, passed himself off as a super successful businessman, but he was actually a dropout who couldn't keep any, like, even minimum wage job. Ugh. In the last year, he had been accused of sexually assaulting a former girlfriend and another tourist from Britain.
Oh, not cool.
But she didn't know that. And when they met for dinner, like, Grace knew nothing about this. So she ended up going back with him to the hotel that he was actually living out of at the time. And Kempson would eventually strangle Grace to death during sex. And then he photographed her body and then spent hours watching hardcore pornography. And then the next day, he was making plans with another woman on Tinder for another date that night. And then he went and purchased a suitcase to put Grace's body into before burying her in a shallow grave in a rural area of Auckland.
He's disgusting.
Yeah. Police ended up finding a message from him to her on Facebook and then tracking down security camera footage from the casino that they had met for drinks at. And he was eventually tried and convicted for the murder of Grace Mullane and found guilty. He was sentenced to life in prison with a minimum served sentence of 17 years. I hate him.
There's just so many disgusting things happening.
I know. I know.
How do you... No. How?
This last one is crazy.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. In July...
This is 10 or number 1?
This is number 110. In July of 2018, police had been tracking down a man named, and it's spelled D-A-N-U-E-A-L. I don't know if it's Daniel or if it's just a weird spelling of Daniel. What do you think?
Melissa.
All right. His last name is Drayton, so I'll just call him that. He was the number one suspect in the rape and murder of 29-year-old Samantha Stewart, who was a nurse from Queens, New York. They tracked him to a hotel room in L.A., but when they found him, they were not prepared to also find another woman that he was currently holding hostage as well after raping her.
What?
Yeah, they show up for him, find him in the middle of another rape and, like, basically hostage situation. Samantha Stewart was the woman who he was wanted for her murder. Yeah. They had met on Tinder, and then she had taken him back to her house after the date. While there, Drayton beat Samantha so badly that her teeth had been knocked out. He's accused of then having sex with her corpse and then buying himself the ticket to California using her credit card. And then he also stole her car to drive himself to the airport. During the questioning in California, it would eventually lead to him confessing to the murder of 6 more women. Six.
Now, they haven't been able to ID those other women. They haven't announced yet, at least if they have. Because, again, this was a couple years ago.
They're in an investigation.
Yes, but based on his past crimes and his behavior, they believe that it's, like, 100% possible. And police are asking women who they believe that he has assaulted to come forward to try and create a more detailed timeline and, like, locations of where he's been at what time. And in March of this year, in 2022, he was extradited from California back to New York for the case for Samantha Stewart. So there's no update yet on, like, him being tried for her murder, but essentially there's a possibility that they've caught a serial killer who was using Tinder to find his victims. They said he used Tinder or rideshare apps, and I think that might have been where he met the girl in L.A. Yeah. He, like, shared a ride with her and then, like, made small talk to try and get her.
That makes me so grossed out.
I know. So I just was like, I'm sorry, what? And it's just such a bummer, man, because I get the point of Tinder is to, like, meet people, date people. Basically, it's hookup. But guys, please be careful on the internet. Yeah. Don't trust anyone.
Now we can't start trying to date on the internet after this.
Yeah, can't do it.
So we're going to have to tell our moms, we're sorry.
Yeah. No grandkids for you.
My mom's been making a lot of comments about moving out and getting married. And I told her on Sunday, I get your hints, lady.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have a bunch of pictures.
Perfect. Cause now, I only had two.
Well, I almost might have to do two posts because there's so many, cause I did 10 stories. Some pictures are them together. Like, this is Victoria and Emil, the couple who was married. He tried to kill her while skydiving. This is Sydney Loof. So she's the one, that's her actual Snapchat of her the night before the date saying, ready for my date with a heart eye emoji. This is Bailey Boswell, the girl who is accused of meeting her on purpose and then murdering her. This is Chi-Chi B and Jordan Matthews.
He looks like a vampire.
Yeah, he totally does.
I think it's the lighting. Like, yeah. He looks like a bad colon.
Yeah. I like that.
You know?
This is a picture of James Wu and Julie Terson. This is a picture of Paul Lambert, the guy who hid in the closet.
He doesn't look like a closet hider.
I know. He looks like a normal dude.
I would probably swipe right on that.
Yeah. This is Angela. She was the doctor. Beautiful. Isn't she so pretty?
She's beautiful.
This is... And I said, look at the notes because their names were so long. I want to make sure I get it right. Okay, so this is Francia Ruth Ibarra. And then this is her...
Why is that so zoomed in?
I'm sorry. He's a big mole on his face.
Oh, it's a double picture. I see.
Yeah, so there's only so much I can do. That is Emmanuel Delaney Valdez Bocanegra. We hate him. This is Warriana Wright.
Wow.
So pretty.
She looks like a younger version of the lady from My Orthodox Life.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think it's just a very jet black hair.
Yeah. This is Gable Tosti. So I'm pretty sure that picture was taken on the balcony. So, like, you can see how high up the 14 stories was. This is Prince Darkwa. Hate him.
Was he really a prince or was Prince his first name?
That's just his first name, I think. This was Grace Mullane. That was her graduating from college. And then that was Jesse Kempson, the man who was pretending to be the businessman. And that's Daniel Drayton. And that was the nurse, Samantha Stewart, who he's currently going to be going through her murder trial for. So when I first saw that it was Tinder's 10-year birthday, I was like, man, there's going to be some crazy stories from that. And then they were, like, linking to all of them. And I was like, these are crazy.
Yeah.
And it felt true crimey, and I know it's a lot, and the lists kind of are, like, hard to keep track of, but please be careful.
They're not hard to keep track of, but yeah, keep careful. I mean, be careful.
Thanks for listening so much, guys, all the way to the end. We missed you. This was our first 2 weeks in between an episode.
And we still failed to get it out on time.
Yeah, so that's a good sign.
But we miss you guys, and we hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and we'll be back in just 13 short days.
Yeah, get ready for it. Message us. Call us. Beep us.
If you want to reach us.
Yeah.
Last night, or a couple nights ago, I heard there was a kid who had a... as his little, like, Kim Possible beep for his text messages.
I thought that was Nickelodeon. That was Nickelodeon that you just...
was pretty good.
What was that, though?
That was Nickelodeon. Nick, 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 Nickelodeon, like Nick is kids.
Oh, I didn't know the last part.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Guys, don't forget to leave us a 5-star review and a written review, please.
Yeah.
We'll be waiting.
Have a wonderful day or night.
Too long?
I mean, a little bit, but it's okay.